Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Stella Bronson is here to introduce a further chapter of Office Wife.
When I told Benny Fuller that something was going to blow up here soon, I wasn't exaggerating. Tessa Bendigo is too furious with Jeff. He's only waiting for an opportunity to break my contract and throw me out, I know. But that's not all. A topaz brooch of Marcia's has disappeared from Jeffrey's desk. And apart from Jeff, I'm the only person who's allowed to touch that desk. So how do you think I feel at the moment? It's late, the building's empty. I've just come up from the locker room before leaving. And here, standing in Jeff's office, is Marcia Pilgrim, his wife. What are you doing here, Mrs. Pilgrim?
Why shouldn't I be in my husband's office?
The place is empty. It's after six.
I don't see why it should concern you. You needn't wait. You can go.
If it's all the same to you, I'll leave when you do. This is your husband's office, and while I'm here alone, I'm responsible for it.
Good Lord, what touching faith. My husband's very fortunate in you, isn't he?
Does he know you're here?
Look, Miss Bronson, your interest in my husband is supposed to end at 5 o'clock each day. Kindly mind your own affairs.
You know, this is the first time we've ever been alone together, isn't it?
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
And since you seem to be determined to stay and watch, I may as well get what I came for. I called in for a brooch of mine. It's supposed to be in a drawer here.
You're wasting your time looking for it.
Am I? How do you know?
It's gone. Jeff and I were looking for it yesterday.
Gone? But that's absurd.
If you don't believe me, you better ask Jeff.
Who has access to this drawer besides my husband? You're the only one, aren't you?
Now, don't look at me, Mrs. Pilgrim. I haven't seen your wretched brooch. And as far as I'm concerned, losing it's no more than you deserve.
May I ask how you make that out?
You lost it in Millie Moffat's company, didn't you?
I don't have to stand and argue with you, Miss Bronson. Leave at once. You only work here.
I'll leave when I'm ready. What's the matter? Aren't I supposed to know what you were doing with Millie Moffat?
I'm not interested in what my uncle's employees know or don't know. At the moment, all I'm interested in is my brooch.
Well, ask your husband about it.
I shall. And I'll also ask him who could have taken it besides you.
You'd do anything to get me sacked, wouldn't you?
I don't have to. The way you conduct yourself, I only have to let events take their course.
Let me tell you something, Marcia Pilgrim. If it wasn't for your Uncle Tresidder and his precious firm, Jeff Pilgrim
would... Don't you dare stand up and dictate to me about my husband. Who do you think you are? Who are you to discuss my private affairs? Get out of here. If you don't get out, I'll call the caretaker and have you put out.
Well, I thought I heard voices. Want a referee?
Harry, ask this creature to leave the building, will you, please?
Just a minute. I've no authority. I'm not the Bendigo building bouncer.
Okay, well, then... Will you take me home, please?
Delighted. But what's been going on? You two haven't been mixing it, have you?
She's been grossly impertinent and rude. I'm going to make a complaint.
Tut, tut, tut. What about it, Stella?
You heard her, didn't you? She asked for it.
This looks to me like a bad show. Why don't the three of us have a drink somewhere and cool off?
Oh, don't be absurd.
All right. But this kind of thing doesn't look too good if it gets around. What were you arguing about, anyway?
Please, Harry, do we have to stand here gibbering all night?
Heaven forbid. Lead the way, Stella. And if you don't mind my saying so, this little encounter had better be kept strictly to ourselves. Rather lucky I showed up, don't you think?
You have to do something about her, Jeff. You have to. She was positively insulting about you, too.
All right, darling. Do calm down, there's a bit. I'll look into it in the morning.
You can't have any justification for keeping her after this. After all, I am your wife.
Marcia, I've promised I'll have Stella on the carpet in the morning.
Just because she's your secretary.
Look, darling, are you sure you're not exaggerating just because this is a golden opportunity to make it really hot for her?
No, I'm not. And don't you dare take her part.
I'm not taking her part. I just don't want the three of us to make fools of ourselves over nothing.
Nothing? You call this nothing?
Well, please, Pet, don't let's say anything more about it tonight. And I really am dreadfully sorry about your brooch. I could kick myself.
You're going to report its loss, aren't you?
I'd rather not.
But if it's been stolen, you have to.
Oh, but we'll only have a constable trumping about asking questions. Everyone in the entire building will feel rot. When it's all over, we still won't have your brooch. I'm a hunch it'll turn up somewhere.
Jeff, come here. Look me in the eyes. Why don't you want to report it? Because they'll be suspicious of Stella Bronson?
Oh, that's ridiculous, darling. That girl would no more steal than...
I thought so.
Now, Marcia, be reasonable.
I tried so hard to believe in you, Jeff, but I'd have to be blind. You don't care a farthing about me. All you want to do is to keep Stella Bronson in your office, no matter how I feel or what she does. I can't go on like this, Jeff, I can't.
But you mustn't expect me to call her a thief just because your brooch has disappeared, however much you detest her.
Who else could have taken it? Who else goes to your desk or has a key to the drawers?
Well, we haven't been locking them lately. Marcia, you're tired and upset. We could go on like this till 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, I promise I'll pin Stella's ears back for what happened this evening, so... Come on now, give me a kiss. We'll tackle everything tomorrow. Come on, come here.
No. No, please, Jeff.
I don't know. There's a wall growing up between us, and every day it gets higher and higher. What are we going to do?
You know what to do, Jeff. You know, and you've always known. It's in your hands, not mine.
Billy, turn that thing off. Turn it off. It'll drive me insane.
Can't I finish this one?
No, you can't. You're turning the place into a snake pit.
Oh, all right.
There. Now you're satisfied?
Oh, at least I can think. I can take that cannibal music, but only in very small doses.
Say, what's the matter with you tonight, Harry? You've been sitting there like an old Buddha or something, hardly saying a word. What is it, hon? Tell Millie.
It's pound, shilling and pence, my poppet. My car's not paid for. I have a bill at Carastias for an amount I don't think of. If I go to my bank manager again, he'll probably reach for a meat cleaver.
Gee, is it that bad?
Well, just let's say it's a good thing they don't have debtors' prisons anymore. Taking Master Pilgrim out so much is an expensive pastime.
Well, why do you have to? I don't notice you taking me to any of those swell places.
You wouldn't enjoy it, dear. They have neither jukeboxes nor boogie-woogie.
Are you getting snooty on me?
No more than usual.
Well, I haven't said much lately, Harry, but I don't like it just the same, see? 2 or 3 times a week you take Marcia Pilgrim out to lunch. And at night, too, for all I know.
That's policy. You know the score with Marcia as well as I do.
Well, what about that skinny Mrs. Tennant? You didn't have to take her out the other night, did you?
That's my puppet was policy, too. And before you work up a decent head of steam on the subject, this is one time I'm not in the mood for any discussion. Enough said?
Oh, gee. Hon, I don't want to make you wild with me. You're not, are you?
Not so long as you keep quiet and reasonably still.
Harry, you know the way I am about you. Do you ever think of getting married?
Married? My views on marriage, Millie, were set down about 300 years ago. Ah, how merry a thing were a bedding and a wedding, if a man might marry for a year and a day. But to live with her forever and aye, till she grows grey as a cat. Good God, Mr. Parson, excuse me from that. I think that was Alexander Pope or Dryden.
Harry Palmer, I hate you.
Don't hate me, Pop, but hate the poet.
I've never heard anything so cold.
Don't let it get you down. Look, it's getting late. Time you're running off home. Good Lord, you talk to me about marriage. All I can think about at the moment is money. Because somehow, Millie, somehow I have to raise the wind. Come on, I'll drive you. Thank heaven there's always tomorrow.
You're early this morning, Jeff. Any special reason?
Yes, you're the reason. What the devil went on here last night between you and Marcia?
Oh, dear me, I've been dreading this all night. May I sit down, please?
No, anything you like. Hang it all, Stella, what possessed you?
Well, Jeff, you've only heard Marcia's side of the story.
I know that, but what does it matter?
She says you stood here and slanged her head off.
Well, I don't suppose I was exactly polite, Jeff, but she got under my skin.
I don't care what she did. If you had had an ounce of sense, you'd have cleared off without letting an argument develop. Don't you see the position this puts me in? This time I have to take a stand. I can't put you before my wife, especially when she accuses you of making abusive remarks.
But honestly and truly, Jeff, I didn't. I merely tried to defend myself.
Well, please try to understand. I'm not here to judge the rights and wrongs of it. Marcy has made a complaint. She's my wife. You're my secretary. What the dickens can I do? What's it going to look like if I side with you?
Well, of course, I'm only the office girl, aren't I?
Well, don't imagine I'm getting any fun out of this. I'm in a detestable spot. You've been worth your weight in gold to me, Stella, and as a person, I like you tremendously. But Marcia doesn't, and you know why.
What do you want me to do, Jeff?
I'm afraid it's apologize or the other thing.
I've still my contract, you know.
I haven't forgotten it. And that brings us to something even less pleasant.
I know. The brooch.
Yes, the brooch. Marcia insists on reporting its loss.
And the finger will point straight at me.
Well, at least I can defend you openly about that, without anyone getting the wrong ideas.
You don't think I stole it?
Oh, of course not, you silly girl.
Oh, I'm touched.
Now, don't let your feelings get the better of you. There's only one thing to do. Face the music, keep your fingers crossed, your chin up.
Jeff, you are a dear, really.
Oh, shut up. Oh, it's all right, I'll take it. Hello? Oh, yes, Mr. Bendigo. Oh, yes. Yes. Marcia, last night. The brooch. Oh, yes, all right, sir. Half an hour. Well, here it comes, Stella. Mr. Bendigo is on his way here now.
How do you cudgel your brains? I must think of a way out. I won't let Marcia Pilgrim do this to me. I won't, I won't, I won't. And I've only half an hour. Think of something, Bronson. Think of something.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.